Today, we're going to be in Romans chapter 6 of God's Word, Romans chapter 6. And our subject this morning is yielding or surrendering. That's our subject, yielding or surrendering. Romans chapter 6 this morning, if you have your Bibles. And it says in verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof." And then in verse 13, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." This morning we're going to talk about surrendering to God's will. Surrendering to God's will. You'll notice there it has the word yield. That word means to stand beside, is literally what it means, to stand beside. One that is at hand, one that is ready, is what it's referring to. Let me give you an illustration. It's like an athlete who stands next to the coach because they're ready to go in. They're excited. They're prepared to go into the game, so they stand next to the coach ready to be sent in to make a play. Or it's a person that volunteers for some sort of service. They're ready. They volunteer. They're ready to go to do whatever is needed. Now, this word refers to surrendering, not quitting. I want to clarify that right up front. It's not talking about quitting or giving in, but it refers to one who is willing and ready to carry out the will of another. That's what it's talking about. We find it here in verse 13. "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness." We're not to be ready to sin or to live in sin, but it says there, "but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead." So we're to be at hand, we're to be ready, and we're to yield our lives unto the Lord. In this passage, Paul basically challenged the believers in Rome, and hopefully this morning I'll challenge you to surrender your life to God. Okay? To give your life to the Lord so He can work through your life for His glory. I hope to answer three questions this morning concerning this. Three questions. And the first one is, why should you yield to God? Why should you yield to God? And I'll give you two reasons why. First, because He is the Lord. That's why you should yield to God, because He is the Lord. Your being is derived from God. He is your creator. He has made you. He has made you not only who you are, but He has given you life so you can live life. See, He is the Lord of all. He is the God of all. Everyone that has lived, everyone that is living right now, and everyone that ever will live is because God has made them and created them, and He has chosen to give them life. This morning, God has given you life. He has given you a life to live, and He is your creator. So that's why you should yield unto God, because He is the Lord. And all the blessings that you have in your life, you know, I like that song, "Count Your Blessings." All the blessings you have in your life are due to God's goodness and His grace. The clothes that you wear, you can thank God that you have them. The house that you live in, you thank God you have it. The car you rode in or drove here this morning to get to church, you can thank God that you had a ride. If you go to work tomorrow morning, you can thank God you have a job. You pay your bills, you thank God you can pay the bills. You have food on the table, you thank God for the food on your table. See, everything you have is a gift from God. It's by His grace and His mercy that you have it. Or you have the ability to attain it and to have it. You see, it's all because God is good to us. And He's given us the ability to live life. We should give thanks to God every day. And not only give thanks to God, but surrender our lives to Him, because He is our Creator. So, first, why should you yield to God? Because He is the Lord. Secondly, because of the love He has for you. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, and we'll look at what it says in verse 16. One of the most popular, if not the most popular, verse of the entire Bible. It says here, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There's a good reason why it is the best verse, or the most favorite or most well-known verse in the Bible, because of the excellent message that we find here. But I want to draw your attention to the fact that it says, "For God so loved the world." God so loved the world. The reason why you should yield to God this morning is because of the love that He has for you. The love He has for you. You know, when you talk about yielding, there are two main considerations that are always involved. First, you have what I would call opposition. Okay? If you're going to yield to someone or something, that means there is something that you can do otherwise than yielding. There's always some sort of opposition, some sort of pressure to resist yielding. And in this case, I believe the pressure or the opposition is love for the world, perhaps, or love for sin, or love for self even, just doing what we want. We're in the book of Romans. I'm going to talk about John 3:16 a little bit more here in a minute. But I'm going to point out to you what Paul said in Romans chapter 6. We're in Romans 6, and we've read verse 13, where we find where we're to yield ourselves unto the Lord. But if you'll notice in Romans chapter 6, what we also find in verse 20, if you skip down to verse 20, he says, "For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." You know what Paul reminded the Romans here? He reminded them that when they were in sin, that really their life amounted to nothing, so to speak. What was the fruit, he said? He said, what was the fruit of all that you, energy and everything you put into your life? He said it ended in death because it was sin, unrighteousness. See, in a sense, that's what he's telling them when verse 13, he says, yield your life unto God for His glory and honor. You've been living unto yourself all these years. Now yield your life unto the Lord and give it to Him and let Him make something out of it. You see, this morning, God loves you. And we think about John 3:16 when we apply it here to this passage. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now think about that for a moment. You know what? God loves you enough that He has provided what I would call an opportunity for you to live for Him. An opportunity. And to begin with, He's offered a pardon from sin. You see, that sin, that's a problem we all have. Sin. It's in our life. It's in our heart. It's part of our nature. And until that sin is resolved, until we're forgiven of our sin, until we're cleansed, we cannot come before a holy God. We cannot serve God. We cannot worship God. We cannot praise God. We can do nothing before God until that is resolved. Well, God knows that. So He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sin. And Jesus Christ not only lived a perfect life, but He died on the cross in our place, or in your place, so that way you could be saved. You see, that's a pardon that God has offered. A pardon for sin. The price has been paid. All those who repent and believe on Jesus Christ are saved. You receive that pardon and you are now given a new life. And so what we find is that's due to God's love. God loves you. Now let's contrast that for a moment to the world. Because see, that's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, guess what? At one time you lived in the world and you gave your bodies and your life over to serve unrighteousness. And where did that get you? You ever thought about that? Is there anybody in the world that loves you as much as God does? No, not even close. There's nothing in the world to compare to God's love of sending His Son to die on the cross for our sin. Nothing whatsoever. And God loves you. And He's provided a pardon from sin. And not only a pardon from sin, but let me give you a list of a few more. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Because we find a few others that Paul mentions in his letter to the church at Philippi. In Philippians chapter 4. And I'll look at the first one in verse 7. Philippians 4 verse 7. He says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Through Christ Jesus. You know what? He's given you peace through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you're saved here this morning, because of God's love, you now have peace with God, and you can have the peace of God in your heart. No matter what's going on around you, you can have God's peace. You skip down to verse 13. Notice what he says here. He says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." You know what we can also do with Christ? We can have power to live as God would want us to live. Not our power, not our strength, God's power. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And you go down a few more verses to verse 19. He says here, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You'll notice a trend here or a pattern. It's all in the Son, Jesus Christ. Provision. He'll provide our needs in Christ Jesus. You see, God's love is seen through His Son, Jesus Christ. The death on the cross. And when you believe on Jesus Christ, you're saved. You have a new life. A pardon from sin. You have the peace of God. Power to overcome sin. And your provisions will be met. Finally, in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know what God has also given you? He's given you a purpose in life. And that's to live unto Him now. You see, God has given all this, and it's all due to His love for us, seen through His Son, Jesus Christ. There's a story a missionary once told. He was to the people that were called the Basutos tribe. That's what they were. And the chief was named Moshesh. And he went to these people, and over a period of time, he built up a relationship to the point where they trusted him. They trusted him. And they allowed him to have a church service in their area where they were staying. And the chief, Moshesh, he met with several of his other leaders. They were all chiefs on certain levels. And he advised them. Here's what he told them. He said that they would have this church service, but here's what he told them. He said, only put one foot in the church. This was his advice. Now, of course, he wasn't talking about physically just sticking a foot in. He's basically saying, just go listen, take it with a grain of salt, but don't make any commitments or anything like that. Well, eventually, after several services, one of the chiefs converted and became a devoted Christian. And he met with the chief Moshesh, and he told him, he said, I did just as you advised. I put one foot in the church. He said, but soon after, the love of Jesus Christ drew my whole body into the church. You see, it's the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God, is why we should yield our life to God. Because He loves us. And because He loves you, you should be willing to give your life unto Him. So this morning, I encourage you to yield your life unto God. Let's go back to Romans 6. Let's look. Here's my second question. What should you yield to God? What should you yield to God? We're going back to Romans chapter 6. And it says here in verse 13 of Romans 6, he says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So what should you yield to God? I have two answers for you here. First, yield what I would call you as a person, who you are. Bobby, the Bible here talks about our members. In other words, your body, yourself, who you are. We should yield our life unto God. And not just part of it, all of you. Okay? Everything about you. You should yield unto the Lord or surrender unto God. I think we find it here that Paul made it very clear that he's talking about the body. Not just our thoughts, but our conduct, our actions, what we do and how we live should be yielded unto the Lord. So you say, Pastor, what's that include? I think it includes everything. We can start with the eyes, what you watch. Do it for God's glory. You can go to the ears, what you listen to. You can go to the tongue, what you say. Your hands, what you do, your feet, where you go. You know, let's go on and on. But basically, I believe our whole being should be given over to the Lord. There's a story of the late B.H. Carroll. He was a pastor for many years in Texas. He was an atheist, a very avowed atheist before he was saved, to the point of not only did he not believe in God, but he would ridicule and mock those that did. By the urging of his beloved mother, he went to a camp meeting. He didn't want to go, but he went just to appease her. And he went, and he said his whole plan was just to stand as far back as he possibly could, pretty much get the whole thing over with, and then leave. And that's what he did. He said he went home, and for some reason, he said he wanted to go back. And so he went back and listened to another message and another message. And before you know it, God had worked in his heart, and he believed on Jesus Christ. By the way, that's why you invite people to church. You just never know how God's going to work. Just encourage them to come. Well, after he was saved, he went home. And on his way home, he said all he could think of was God and how good God was. Well, he saw a tree stump off to the side. He's walking home. He goes off the trail, and he said he got down on his knees, and right then and there, he said he gave his entire life to God. He began with his head. He said, "Lord, take my thoughts. They're yours." He said he spent at least an hour there giving every part of his life to God. He said he didn't want to leave anything out. He wanted God to have everything. You see, he surrendered his life to the Lord. And that's what we need to do. Say, "God, my life is yours. Here I am. I'm at your side. I'm ready to go to do whatever you want. Lord, I'm yours." And that's what we find here. That's what Paul challenged the Romans to do. To yield their members unto God. Not unto unrighteousness or into sin, but unto God's glory. You see, it's not about the things that we have in life. God desires to have us, our heart. I heard a preacher put it this way once, and I think he's correct. You'll notice God doesn't say, "Give me your wallet." God says, "Give me your heart." You know what? If he has your heart, then he's got your wallet. You see, once he has your heart and he has your life, he's got everything you have because you have given it over to him. And he'll direct from there. And that's what God wants. He wants us to give our life over to him. So give your entire person over to the Lord. I mean by that, give your life to God. Secondly, I'll call it this, give your potential to God. Okay? Your potential. What you can be. The first one is who you are. The second one is what you can be. You know, God has blessed everyone with certain abilities and gifts and talents. All of us have been given different gifts. Some have the ability to sing. Some have the ability to teach. Some have the ability to encourage. You know, I've met some people, I'll tell you what, they're encouraging is what they are. It seems like I never leave their presence without being encouraged in some sort or some way. Some have the ability to pray. They just pray for others. Some have the ability, what I would call it, to be hospitable. You know, God has given several talents out there. And gifts and abilities. I think we should give those back to God. Use them for His glory and for His honor. See, your life should be given unto the Lord. Your whole person. Not just your thoughts and your, I guess you say, your direction on a daily basis, but what you can be and what you will be. In other words, we should live for God's glory and not for selfish endeavors. Also, we should live to please the Lord and not to gratify the flesh. You know, Romans 6:13, that's what he says here. He said, "Yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield them unto God." In other words, don't live in the world or the chase after the things of the world, but give your life unto God. Live unto Him. Seek His glory and His honor and chase after those things that are holy and righteous and that are good. Also, to be holy and not to be sinful. To be holy, to be right with God. Now, holiness, folks, that's living unto the Lord. That's separating from sin and living unto God and pleasing God with our life. And that's the challenge there. We're to yield our life unto God. Not just part of it. Not just for the moment, but our potential. Our abilities and our gifts and our talents. What we can be. And let God use those for His glory and for His honor. And by the way, when you do that, who knows where God's going to take you? Who knows how God is going to use you? I'm always amazed when I read through the Old Testament and you find, you know, the men and women that God used were just ordinary men and women. It was God who provided the power. It was God who provided the greatness. It was God who directed their steps. And it was God who made them what they became. This morning, you yield your life unto God. It can be the same for you today. You yield your life unto the Lord and your talents and your abilities and all that God has given you. Who knows how God is going to bless you? Who knows how God is going to work through you to be a blessing to others? But God can and God will. But we must yield unto Him. So that's what we need to do. We need to yield as far as not only should we yield unto God, but we should yield our whole person unto the Lord. Number three, how? Here's the last one here. How should you yield to God? How should you yield to God? Now we go back to Romans 6 and verse 13. And I'm going to have four answers here on how you should yield unto the Lord. It tells us here that we should yield ourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So first, yield cheerfully. That's the way I'll put it. You know what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7? The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Now, I know the primary application to that passage is talking about their finances and their giving. But I do believe that's a biblical principle there, that God wants us to give willingly unto Him. God wants us to generously yield what we have unto Him. So this morning, as you yield your life to God, I encourage you to do it from a cheerful heart. Not out of obligation. Not out of regret. Now, if there is some regret there, then probably time to stop and think, because maybe there still is a love for sin, or there's still things that need to be issued out or taken care of. We should willingly give our life unto the Lord. Say, God, here's my life. Take it and use it for your glory and for your honor. So, be a cheerful giver unto God. Number two, give your life to God completely. Okay? Keep back nothing. Keep nothing back. That's often the problem. The problem is we try to hold on to parts of our life. Okay? We say, God, you can have this part and this part, but I'm going to keep this part. You can have Sunday morning, you can have Wednesday night, but I get, Monday through Saturday. Or you may say, you can have the mornings, but I get the evenings. Or here's another thought, another way we do it too. Lord, you can have my talents here, but you can't have this talent over here. I'm going to hold on to this. Or you can have my thoughts here, but you can't have my thoughts here. We must give our entire life to God completely. Completely. Hold nothing back. Keep nothing for yourself. Give it all to the Lord. You know, if you'll notice in Romans 6, we're in Romans 6. Notice what it says in verse 19 of Romans 6. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. You know what Paul's saying? He's telling the Romans. He's saying, yes, you know how you used to live in the world? Or how you used to live for self? Well, how about you yield to that extent for God? Now, the Apostle Paul himself is an excellent example. You know what we find with the Apostle Paul? Before he was saved, you know, he was a zealous persecutor of the church. Nothing stood in his way as far as persecuting believers and Christians. He did all that he could to destroy the church. You know what happened after he was saved? He didn't just go sit down and say, I'm going to take it easy now and relax. He kept that same zeal, but guess what? It was now for God's glory and honor. You read through the book of Acts, and that same desire that he had to persecute the church was now used for God's glory and taking the gospel to the world. You know, this morning, that's what the challenge is, folks. The challenge is this. You know, at one point you may have lived in sin before you were saved. You may have given your life over to certain things. Guess what? Now that you're saved, you do that same for God, for His glory and His honor. You know, I think as Christians, our zealousness, our desire to serve God, people should see it. People should see that we love the Lord. They should know that we love God. And the same desire that someone has in the world for sin, perhaps someone who's going after sin and trying to live unto self or this ambitious life that they have, that should be seen in our love for God. We should be just as ambitious for God as someone in the world is for sin. We should give our life to God and we should live completely for Him. Hold nothing back, but give Him full possession of your life, your entire heart, so that way He can have it and use it for His glory and His honor. So this morning I challenge you to give your life completely unto God. Hold nothing back. Just give it to Him, every aspect of it. Number three, how about you give it what I would call contentedly. Contentedly. In other words, you say, Lord, your will and not mine, and then you'll be fine with that. That's so easy to say, so it's difficult to practice sometimes. You know, when you say, God, your will, then He may make some decisions or may lead you in some paths that you may wonder sometimes. Or you may say, well, I would not have gone this direction. Well, when you walk with God, He's going to take you where He wants you to go. I think of Jonah. He had no desire to go to Nineveh ever, but God wanted him there. Eventually, he got there. God worked through him to be a blessing. But you know what? He struggled with that contentedness, following God's will instead of His will. Folks, we need to be content with the direction that God is leading us. We need to be content with what God is doing in our life. You see, when you yield yourself unto God and you say, Lord, your will, not mine, then you're content. You're content with the direction He chooses to go. You're content with what He allows in your life. You don't get upset or bitter at Him or angry at Him. Instead, you say, Lord, it's your will. And if you choose for me to go through this, then you have a plan, and I'm going to go through it. And I'm going to give you glory and honor when you get me through, or for all the blessings you provide. You see, that's being content with the Lord. So whatever God has you do, And wherever God has you go, you just faithfully follow Him. That's with a content heart. And that's how we need to follow the Lord, with a contented heart. And number four, we need to yield to God continually. As the last one, continually. So we need to yield cheerfully, we need to yield completely, we need to yield contentedly, and finally, we need to yield continually. You see, I believe we need to yield to God sometimes every day. Sometimes three or four times a day, depending on what's going on in our life and what happens. Depending on the temptations around us or the trials or troubles, there may be times that you just need to get with God and say, God, okay, I'm yours, Lord. I give you my life. You see, continually yield your life unto God. And for two reasons for this. One, because there are so many distractions in this world. Okay? There are so many, what I would call, things in this world that can pull your love from God and put it on the world. And they're not necessarily sin. Of course, we know there's sin in this world that we can follow after. But you know, a lot of it is just selfishness or just distractions that we can put our attention and all our cares and all our concerns on something, and all that is removed from God. And then we'll grow cold in our love towards God. And then we'll struggle to live for God. And then we can become discouraged. You see, what we need to do is continually give our life unto the Lord. Continually yield our life to God. I found that out early in life, after I was saved. You know, I thought, you know, for a while there, I thought, man, I did it once, it's good. Well, I also found out that, guess what? One time yielding your life unto God, it doesn't cut it the rest of your life, you know? Unless you live perfect from that point on, which I was far from, you have to continually dedicate yourself to God. And say, Lord, your will, not mine. Because it's just so easy to hold on to things and to grab things, or to become selfish in life. And so we have to give our life to God. We have to surrender to Him instead of surrendering to the world or to sin. So this morning, I encourage you to yield your life to God. Do it cheerfully. Do it completely. Do it contentedly. And do it continually. And I want to end with an illustration. So I'll wrap it up here this morning. An illustration that I hope will encourage you to yield your life unto God. There is a story. Hugh Moore used to tell the story of a prize fighter by the name of Bendigo, who lived in England during the 1840s. He was a prize fighter. He was 21-0 in the big matches. 21-0. Undefeated. One fight went 93 rounds. A lot different than boxing today. They didn't have a lot of the rules and a lot of those things in place. 93 rounds. No judges, no draws, no split decisions in those days. You fought until someone was knocked out and there was a winner standing. Well, he was 21-0. And most of his time, he said, outside the ring, most of his time was spent in what were called public houses. You know, each generation has a name for these types of places. Some generations have called them saloons. Some call them casinos. Some call them bars. It just depends on the generation, I guess. But I think you get the picture, type of place that he hung out in. That's where he spent most of his time. That's where he lived his life. He not only became an alcoholic. Part of his training, I guess, was part of that. He became an alcoholic. By the time he was 60... he was arrested for the 27th time and sent to jail. 27th time. And in jail, he was invited to hear a local preacher that was visiting the jail, that was preaching on Sundays, invited to go down and listen. But he refused. He said it was because he knew nothing of the Bible, he knew nothing of God, and he had no interest in learning about either. So he refused. Well, he could hear the service from his where he was staying in a little cell area. He could hear the service in the jail. And as the service began, he heard the preacher start talking, and one word got his attention, and that word was fight. He heard fight, so he said that he kind of snuck over the edge and began listening. And the preacher brought a message on David and Goliath. And this man listened intently to this message. And he said that when the end of the message came, he was so caught up in the message, he never heard the story before, so caught up that he forgot where he was. And when the preacher finished the story, and you know, of course David was successful against Goliath, he said he jumped up and he yelled, "Bravo! I'm glad the little one won." And then he realized where he was. Well, the message ended, and he said all week long, this is what he thought about. He thought about that fight. He said he'd grown up fighting. That's all he knew. He said he concluded, for a little man to win a fight against a big man like that, someone must have been involved. Someone else must have been involved. And so he knew somebody was working behind the scenes. He just didn't know who. Well, the next Sunday came. He didn't go down to the service. He said he just listened from his cell again. And this time there was a message on three men in a fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, when the preacher mentioned the last name, Abednego, he said Bendigo, which was his name. I thought, wow, someone in the Bible has my name. So he listened intently to this message. And when he found out that they had been delivered, he said all week long that week, he thought, you know what? If one Bendigo can be saved, then another one can be saved too. So he sat in his cell all week. The preacher came back. The next Sunday, he didn't go down there. He listened from his cell again. And he heard about a message about four fishermen. Well, he grew up fishing. So he had interest and he listened. The next Sunday came. And there was a message about 20 or 700 left-handed men from the book of Judges, chapter 20. Well, Bendigo had made a living not only boxing, but he was a left-handed boxer. He said it just grabbed his attention and he listened again to what took place in the Bible. He said that week, all he could think of was this. He said, I'm in the Bible. I'm in the Bible. He said, the Bible's speaking to me. Well, he got out that next Sunday out of jail. He was released. He said when he got out, he had some friends waiting for him. He went and he met them and he told them, he said, I am never going into a public house again. He went down the street and he found a church. He went in and he listened to the message. And that afternoon, he accepted Christ as his Savior, repented and believed on Jesus Christ. And later, he surrendered his entire life to serve the Lord. After 60, he did great works for God instead of for himself. And he would tell churches this. He would tell them this. He said, when I fought, I was 21-0. I never lost a prize fight. He said, when I came to the cross of Christ, I was beaten in the first round. And then he said, and then I surrendered. Folks, that's what it is. It's just surrendering our life to God, yielding our life to God for His glory and honor.